Oh, yeah. Good job, Haley. Aren't you glad we get to have fun here at Authentic Church? I don't know about you. She found out like this week and she learned that song, and we're just grateful that we have a team who likes to have fun here at Authentic Church, especially if you were here last week when we talked about getting tested through the fire. That would make a whole lot more sense to you. Who was here last week? Who got to go through Walking Blind? If you weren't, we're not judging you. You're here this week. Thank you for coming out, but you did miss an amazing week. It was amazing what God did. And so we're going to continue on with that. My name is Sean Jensen. I have the honor of serving here as pastor, lead pastor. Pastor here with my beautiful wife, and I love it. I just love being a part of a community of people. Church isn't just about crowds, it's about community. And I love that about our church, that it's deeper than just, hey, we have a crowd on Sunday, but these people are doing life every single week together. And I think that is amazing. So if you don't have community yet, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So we are super pumped with what God is doing. And the name of this message today, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, is called Deflators Gonna Deflate. Deflators are gonna deflate. Everyone say deflators gonna deflate. But look to someone next to you and say inflators. Come on now, we got to get a little bit alive. We just have to say inflators gonna inflate. Gonna inflate. Like, what in the world is he talking about? I hope that I can explain it. Otherwise, you are going to be super confused when you go home today. It's all right. Just go eat some lunch. You'll forget about it after that goes. We're going to be in Genesis. We have been looking at the life of Abraham. Abraham was in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. And we decided to start a series called Walking Blind. And here's why. Because we believe in Scripture, faith is, right? We say we walk by faith and not by sight. That's Scripture. And so we realize that in life as believers, we don't live by what we see. We live by faith. And in Hebrews, it says that faith is the substance. Everyone say substance. You're going to learn by now. Say substance. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so we decided, as we looked through Hebrews, there was this man named Abram who got changed to Abraham, and he is actually a forefather of our faith. God said, I want you to leave everything behind that you're used to for 75 years. I want you to leave that behind, and I want you to go to a place I will show you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. Abram said, that's great, but I can't have children, and my wife is barren. But God promised the child through him. And so last week, we talked about how he had a child and how God asked him to sacrifice his own child and how his faith was tested. And what can we do when our faith is tested? If you are going through a testing right now, when you leave, get on YouTube, Authentic IL Church, subscribe, and watch Walking Blind testing. I truly believe it will encourage you in whatever you're going through because we had a good time last week. But it's going to get better. As we continue on, we're actually going to look back before Isaac was born now. I know I'm going crazy. This is how my mind works, so just go with me. All right, Sean, but he already had Isaac last week. But now we're going back before he had Isaac because here's the truth. If he was 75 when he stepped out, and he was 100 years old when Isaac came. So he waited 25 years, please help me if I did my math wrong, 25 years until the promise came. But we're going to talk about 10 years in his journey. What happened after 10 years before he even had Isaac? There's something that happened. Guys, it's going again to look shocking. The Bible is anything but boring. Last week we talked about a father almost killing his son. This week we're talking about a wife who says, hey, sleep with my maidservant. And again, we have authentic kids. I tried telling you, you might want to put them in there unless you want to have some really weird conversations when you leave. But this is what it says in Genesis 16. This is where we take off. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, which remember, God changed her name to Sarah and Abraham, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. Don't call your child that. So Sarah said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abraham was like, I guess I'll take one for the team. And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. Of course he did. So Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian. I'll explain the culture, guys. Don't get so weirded out. Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. I'm sorry. So it was longer than the time he took off. This was 10 years after he settled, after leaving his native land. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abraham, this is all your fault. husbands, don't. No grins, this, because we know they're crazy. All right, so I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Abraham replied, look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The story goes on, but we're going to stop right there. Deflators gonna deflate. I'm going to pray before we get into the word. Lord, we thank you so much. Again, for this, the worship we had, man, what a powerful statement to say that your peace is here, that you're greater than all. And I just pray, Father God, that we would be expecting, Father God, whatever we're putting into this, we're going to get out of it. So let's lean into what you want to speak today. There's a lot of things that try to deflate our faith. And I just pray that as we expose those things, that we would be full of faith this week and this year. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your words would speak now, because, Lord, I know that I prepared in my mind, but I just pray that this would come from the heart, and we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Deflators gonna deflate. Deflators going to deflate. Have you ever possibly been in a situation where you know you should fix it, and you're just so procrastinate all the time? And you're like, I know I want to fix it, but I don't have time to fix it. But what you'll do is you'll keep like taking care of a temporary problem, even though if you took care of it, it would fix it permanently. For instance, like if your tire keeps getting low every 2 days and you know that there's a problem, but you don't have time to figure out the problem, you're just going to keep going to Casey's and filling that tire up and just keep driving on it. Am I the only one who procrastinates? Like, I'm the only one that's like, I'll just take care of the issue right now. Like there's things in our house that I know frustrate me, but I won't take the time to permanently fix it. I'll just do a temporary fix, and then 2 days later, that thing's broke again, and I temporary fix it, and temporary fix it, and temporary fix it, just to find out that I'm getting more frustrated at it. If I would have just taken the tire in and found out that there was 3 nails in the tire and got them patched, I wouldn't have to be filling it every 2 days in negative 37 degree weather. I'm just trying to rant right now. Just give me a break. Guess what I'm trying to say? Have you ever been procrastinating and frustrated by something that you should have fixed in the first place? When I look at deflators gonna deflate, I think sometimes there was a recent place, again, I'm talking about my tire, that I had a flat tire, and this has happened more than once, but I remember that it wasn't all the way flat, but the sensor was going off and it was getting flat, and so I put air in it thinking it was the cold weather, to find out a few days later it was getting flat again. And so I'd put more air in it, and then it was flat. And I put more air in it, and then it was flat. But as long as I could keep the air in it, I could keep driving it. It's not safe. I know. It wasn't my girl's car. It was the other car, right? Like, it was just me. Like, I'm going. If it was my girl's, probably would have done the same thing. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell lies up here. I'm working on that, all right? I'm working on it. And I realized that it's like you fill that thing up and you're excited, you have a full air in your tire, and then 2 days later, you're like, oh, it's deflated again. And I don't know about you, but I feel like that with my faith. I feel like I get so full of faith on Sunday, I'm like, woohoo! And then Tuesday, it's like, I know I'm your pastor, I'm the only one that goes through this, but sometimes I feel like I keep filling myself up with faith just to find out 2 days later, why is my faith been depleted? What has happened to my faith? I was full of faith, and now it's just kind of deflated. You see, as we're talking about walking blind, we're talking about having faith. I believe the Lord impressed on my heart, and what I say that is, as I was listening, he didn't speak audibly, but through his word, I felt like he was leading me to say, Sean, you can spend time talking about faith, but if they have holes in their tire, they're not going to have faith because there's things in their life that are deflating their faith. So today we're not going to talk about maybe things that are going to walk in faith and step out in faith. But if we want to live by faith every single day, then we need to find out the things that are deflating our faith day by day. Because I'm realizing I've heard this way too much, especially in our church and throughout the U.S., is I just can't wait till Sunday. Now that's great. I'm glad that you come to a place that you can be filled up. I'm glad you come to a place that you can be encouraged. I'm so pumped by that. But here's the truth. The truth is, yes, I'm going to do my best to feed you God's word every week. But once babies become full grown, they can feed themselves. And so my hope is that your faith wouldn't be deflated when you come in on Sunday. I hope that you come in full of faith more than when you left last Sunday, because you were spending time fixing the patches in your life. You were spending time in God's presence. That Sunday, it's just another Sunday of what you were doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's the gift in the grind. It's the everyday you can be full of faith. But there's patches that I want to talk about. There's these things called deflators. What deflates our faith. But as we talk about these three things, I want to tell you something. The same things that deflate our faith can be the same exact things that inflate our faith. The same things that deflate our faith that I'm going to talk about are also things that can inflate our faith. And so looking back at the story of what happened, remember, Abraham had a promise from God. It was 10 years later. He still didn't see the promise come out. He said that he believed and he was in the hall of faith, so he was living by faith. And yet we see a story where Abraham was weak. I'm grateful that Abraham still made the hall of faith, even though he doubted. Even though he made a mistake. You see, even if you made a mistake and doubted, you can still be full of faith. Because here's the thing about faith. Faith is a lifestyle, not a moment. So don't let a moment define your life. Get back up. It's a lifestyle. And so even though he had a weak moment, we're going to dissect to see what made him try to have, because he had a child named Ishmael when he should have had Isaac. And Ishmael was a reminder that his faith was weak and he tried doing this in his own way. But faith isn't doing it in our own way. I always say this, if you take things into your own hands, you miss out on God's plans. And he tried to take things into his own hands, but what deflated his faith? That's what we're looking today. The first thing is this, relationships. Relationships. Now, before I read this, I don't want you to think that this is a time where I'm talking about wives. It was the lady who gave Adam the apple. It was Sarah who told Abram, you should sleep with my servant Hagar. And then all of a sudden, we treat women like it's their fault. Now, if Adam was actually leading his wife like he was supposed to be leading his wife, and if Abraham was leading Sarah like he should, we're just not going to get there today. But relationships, it says this, because some of us are not even ready for that. Sarah said in verse 2, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. So her idea was, go and get... We're going to go marry. In this culture, we don't do this today. Don't try doing this. Please don't do this. In this culture, it was normal for a person to have a concubine. It was normal for someone to marry for the sake of having children. It was different, I know, but it was cultural in this context. And in this context, she said, take Hagar, get married to her, and then have a child, and we will raise that. But it didn't go as planned. How many know that when we take things into our own hands, it never goes as planned? And so as they do this, she says, the Lord has prevented me, so take Hagar. It was saying, I know God gave you a promise, but maybe we're supposed to fulfill a promise in our own ways. And a relationship began to deflate Abram's faith. You see, when I had a flat tire in our journey, what happened was it was completely flat when it was freezing out. And so we were going over to a friend's house, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to drive on a flat tire. Let's get to Casey's, and let's fill, because they have an air pump there. Thornton's got to pay for it. Casey's, it's free. Shout out to Casey's. Anyways, so I'm all about free 99. So anyways, we go to Casey's, and I was like, we're going to pump this thing up, and then we're going to go to our friend's house so that we don't ruin the tire or anything like that. So I get out, it's freezing out, negative 37. I get out and I grab the pump and I take it. And if you've ever done this before, I take it to the car, I take the cap off, and I put the valve onto the air pump. And as I do it, I hear. Now you know that when you do this, like you push in. You know, the tire, what is it called? The tire stem. And when you put the tire stem, push it down, the air will come out. That's when it opens up the tire stem. But when the tire stem's open, the pump is supposed to be pumping air into it so it fills up. Well, the pump wasn't working that day. So I was attached to something that was making me deflate, right, but not inflating. Can I ask you what you're attached to? Can I ask you what you're attached to, who you're attached to? In your life, that as soon as they put their life connected to you, are they letting out the faith in your life? Are they bringing negativity in your life? Are they deflating? Are they going to pump some air into you so when you leave, you're more inspired? You're more. There's some people, I can tell you why you're so diminished with faith. It's your attachments. It's who you're doing life with. I'm not saying that we don't love them like Jesus. I'm not talking about friends or who we're trying to reach. I'm talking about your inner circle. I'm talking about the people who build faith in you. I'm talking about the people who come alongside you and say, hey, are you going through hell? Let me pray for you. Hey, you think you're not good enough? Let me tell you who you are in Christ. Hey, you feel like your faith is diminishing? Let me pump you full of faith. You see, whatever you're attached to is either going to tell you if you're going to deflate or you're going to inflate. Sarah was in a weak place, honestly. I'm not trying to diminish what she was going through. I'm sure Sarah was having a hard time. She couldn't provide a child for her husband, and so she was just trying to help. But in this time of helping who he was attached to, it began to deflate her faith. And some of us have attachments of people who we're connected to, but the pump ain't working. And if I could flip it, is your pump working? Because I know right here, yeah, I need to lose those people. But ducks hang out with ducks. And if everyone in your life is negative, newsflash, it's probably because you're negative too. Why do I always track, right? What girls always say, I'm just going to say it. Why do I always get the pigs? Because you're hanging out in the mud. Put some clothes on. Stop attracting them. Stop talking. Quit trying to get attention. Follow Jesus. Run after him. Guys, why do I always get the crazy girls? Because you don't care about anything else besides their looks. Now, looks are important, girl. I'm attracted to my wife, for sure. But if the attraction is good and everything else is mess, you don't want it. You need someone who can build you up. You got some attachments, but not just people in your life. You're attached to some things like news and social media. There's things you're attached to that aren't pumping you up. But if you could get attached to God and his word, the pump never runs out. It always fills you up. You're deflating your faith because the attachment. What are you attached to? Who are the friends that you're attached to? And a good thing to say is Sarah didn't have a bad idea in this culture. It was a good idea. It made sense. That's the thing. There's a lot of people who are giving you ideas that make sense. But here's the thing. It may be a good idea, but it's not a God idea. The enemy's smart. He can get you focused on good ideas when he's like, but you missed out on the God idea. Yeah, you might be able to have a child. We can raise that child. But God said, I've given you a promise, and I will bring a child through your wife, Sarah. It was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. There might be some people in here who are giving you good ideas. You run to them for advice. And here's what I'm trying to say. If you have friends in your life that you run to when you know what you're supposed to do, but you run to them because you know that they're going to justify it, you need new friends. And if you have friends in your life who are going to tell you how it is, and before you do something stupid, you don't talk to them about it, you have a good friend. You just don't ask them because you already know what they're going to tell you. I've seen that all the time. Pastor Sean, can we set up an appointment? Can we talk? Yeah, about two times. And I'll say, hey, this is some things you need to do. And they want to talk the third time. And I'm like, this is the thing you need to do. But you said it last time. Did you do it? There's some people in your life who are trying to push you further. They're trying to inflate your faith. And not only are you attached to those relationships, maybe you've become that person. Maybe we need to flip the script and say, okay, you know what? Am I showing up to the party with just the needle or the needle and the pump? Am I just going to people and just, I have a big dream to do this. Yeah, well, you need to think about blah, blah, blah. It's been 3 weeks since I've been sober. Well, let me know in 2 months. Came to church last time for the first week. Well, it's a lifestyle. You got to come to church. There's so many people. It's a good idea, but you are diminishing people's faith. Could we be people, especially in 2018, that when people are around us, they leave built up and not torn down? Could we use our authority to say, I hope they leave on cloud nine. I hope they leave thinking they can take on the world. I hope they leave thinking that something God could do through them. I hope they leave and say, I'm going to whatever place and God's going to use me great. Why? Because I just have a feeling after spending time with that person that I can conquer the world. Can we be people who inflate people? Because here's the thing, deflator is going to deflate, but inflators are going to inflate. This is a church full of inflators. Let's change the negative rhetoric. Let's stop criticizing everybody and say, what can I say that's helpful in building up? Doesn't mean we don't coach people, but maybe before you coach someone, get to know them. I don't know who you are, but I see how much you mess up. You don't know who they are. Maybe you should shut up. Until you take time to do what Jesus did and say, hey, look at me in my face. I know your struggle. I've known you've had 5 husbands, but let me tell you something. I'm the bread of life. He couldn't answer until he knew her life. And we can't answer until we know someone's life. But let's be inflators. Before we get to the next point, I don't want to say this, but God has opened up opportunities for me to share what God is doing in our church. And so because he sees what God's doing in our church, because of all you guys, all the people who are behind the scenes, people have asked me to share at their churches. And so I met with a pastor in Peoria, and as I sat down with him, guys, I'm here to tell you, I left that place feeling like I was going to plant 14 more churches in a week. It's like, we just got to go. We got to do something. He's probably around 60 years old, and he's from the UK, and God has done amazing things in him. And he, at that time, they owned it's Riverside in Peoria, and they owned the Dream Center too. And God blessed them with this building for a crazy amount of money. It's just a beautiful place, and it was so cheap for them because he lived by faith. And the Dream Center is like a couple $1 million. They got it for like $500,000. And God just been like working in his ministry. Well, the week I met with them, their elevators in the Dream Center went out. And that was going to be like between $200,000 and $300,000. Guys, that's how much our building cost. And so he looks and he goes, guys, I feel like God put on my heart that I'm going to walk 100 miles to pledge and raise money for the elevators. And guess what? We're meeting and stuff. He goes, I told him I was going to walk, but I don't have to. Because I believe that God was going to show up, and I stepped out in faith. And he said, as I said those words, well, someone came in with $100,000 and gave it to me and said, here's $100,000. Someone else walked in with $150,000, said, hey, I want you to get down those elevators. And within that week, it was paid for. Now, at first, I thought it was like, because sometimes you think people that you hang out with great faith, you get intimidated by them. That's an insecurity in you. That's not them. Just because someone's living by faith doesn't mean that you should be intimidated and talk bad about them because their faith actually intimidates you. That's an insecurity in you. But instead of me feeling like, oh, it's inflated my faith. Because I remember he goes, so what do you owe on the building? And I told him, he goes, oh, that's nothing. I'm like, you really think so? He goes, oh, God can do it. He did it in our church. He can do it in your church. And I paid the bill, and I walked out. I was like, let's do this, right? My faith is inflated. Are you hanging out with people that can inflate your faith, that you can go back to your family and say, I got this, that you can go to your group and say, I can lead this, that you can go back to your job place and say, I can help someone? Are people in your life that are inflating your faith when you're going through it, or are they deflating it? Let's start putting people around us. Who are you attached to? Before you leave today, before your pet head hits the pillow, find out who you're attached to. And if you have to sever some ties, do it. Doesn't mean don't ever talk to them. It just means who is speaking into your life and how are you speaking to them? Let's lift people up. Another thing too that happens, not only can relationships deflate, they can also inflate. Number two are problems. Problems are deflators. Current situations, current conditions, problems are deflators, but they can also inflate your faith. See, I always tell someone all the time, like, I see obstacles as opportunities. If you always say obstacles, you're going to look at them differently. But if you see it as an opportunity, obstacles are always opportunities. Throughout the Bible, the church was persecuted, and it would say that they would get kicked out of their hometown into other places of the earth. But guess what they would do there? Preach the gospel. The only way the church has reached the U.S. is because of persecution. Let me just say that again. Jesus said that the gospel is going to go into Judea, into Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he said that, they were just in Jerusalem. But what happened is Stephen, this guy in the Bible who's a disciple, got stoned to death and murdered. And great persecution came on the church. It's in Acts. And great persecution came on the church. And it said they scattered to, listen, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said it was going to get there. He didn't say how it was going to get there, but it was going to get there. And the church said every obstacle was just an opportunity for my faith to be inflated. I don't know where you're going at, but if God wants you to extend your faith and grow your faith, sometimes it looks like persecution. Sometimes it looks like pain. But if we can look at our problems with God's lens, he can say, I can use your problems to inflate your faith instead of deflate your faith. That's why we got people in here who pray for people in hospitals. Instead of worrying about themselves, they say, I don't know why I'm at the hospital today. I'm not feeling too good. But maybe, just maybe, there's someone here that God wants me to pray for, to encourage. I may be going through a persecution right now, but I'm not going to let it deflate my faith. I'm going to let it inflate. Sarah said this, problems. Verse 2, we're looking at it again. She said, Sarah said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. You see, they had a promise, but they had a problem. Have you noticed that like every great promise from God is wrapped by a problem? Like, hey, we want you to take on the new land in the Old Testament. They go check out the new land. Grapes, the size of huge grapes, giant grapes. Like, look at the blessing. But there was also giants there too. It's like between inside, wrapped around every blessing is a battle. There was a problem and there was a promise. And Sarah said, the Lord had prevented me from having children, so let's take this thing into our own hands. And I thought about that and I realized, has anyone in here ever diagnosed himself on WebMD? Can we just make a vow, 2018, we will not go to WebMD. Come on, everyone put their hands up, right hand. No WebMD. You're like, have a slight cough and a throat might tickle. My right leg needs to be amputated. Right? Like, I have a friend who, like, they diagnose themselves all the time. Like, yeah, I got this, this, and this. I'm like, oh, did you go to the doctor? No, I just know. I'm like, well, get away from me if you know, because I don't want it. But you sure? Yeah, I just know. And they always have something else they have. And I don't know about you, but I think especially in church, we're notorious in our faith to diagnose problems in our life. That God said, that's not even a problem. Sarah was promised a child. Yes, she didn't have one yet, but the word she said was, the Lord prevented me from having a child. No, 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 no. Because we know the end of the story. Like, spoiler alert, she had a child. So God didn't prevent her from having a child. It was just going to come at the right time. God doesn't give us a timetable. I can't get ahead of myself because that's the last point. But what I'm trying to get to is her problem, right? It was a temporary problem that she made a permanent problem. And what happens in church is we get to believe that our temporary condition is just going to be our permanent condition. I'm an addict, I'll always be an addict. I'm a liar, I'll always be a liar. I'm a sinner, I'll always be a sinner. But Sean, we do sin, but the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus says we're no longer sinners, we're saints. Yes, we're imperfect. Yes, we make mistakes, but we're not broken anymore in Christ. I can't stand when churches say, we've come to Christ, now look at us. We're so broken people. I'm sorry, but Jesus is greater to leave me broken. Do we make mistakes? Of course we make mistakes. Do we fall flat on our face? Of course we fall flat on our face. But our current situation shouldn't become our permanent situation. Some of us are going on WebMD Christian style, and we're trying to find out what's wrong with us. Oh, this is what's wrong with me. This is what's wrong with my mind. Now, I'm not trying to say if you have depression, if you have any of these things. I'm not trying to make light of that. Actually, in February, we're doing a series called 1-800-273-8255. We're doing a series about depression, how you can overcome it. I'm excited about it. But what I'm trying to say is we have a lot of people who take their current condition and they make it permanent, and it destroys faith. Well, our church will always look like this. Maybe we'll always be in a high school. We'll always be portable. No, that's a temporary condition, not a permanent one. See, when we begin to diagnose ourselves with our words, we diminish faith. It says that the world was framed by the words of faith. The world that we see was framed by words. And your world would be framed by your words too. So what you're speaking, your kids, hear me out because I'm not going to try to do this the wrong way. But so many people are praying prayers they never even know. Now, some people don't realize it, but when someone says, you know, I'm going to not swear, but hear me out when I explain it. When people say, God damn, you're praying a prayer that you don't want to be praying. Because you are now framing not just your world, but someone else's world too. And if that is in your language, I'm not more concerned about you saying the word than I am you framing that word and damning things in your life that should have never been damned. I guess what I'm trying to say is faith speaks differently. Sarah said, he has prevented me. And Sarah's like, wait. No, I have not prevented her. It's just not the right time. We have got to begin to change our words in our situation. Don't let your situation change your words. Let your words change the situation you're looking at. I am full of faith. I may have gotten mad, but I am patient. I am kind. I am gentle. But Sean, it doesn't look like it, but I'm going to confess it until it looks like it. You need to frame your world. Sarah said, I prevent it. Quit diagnosing yourself with problems and start diagnosing yourself with promises. God will show up. God does love me. I am a child of God. This addiction will leave. I may not see it yet, but I'm going to walk in it. We got to declare those things every time it comes. But in the story, she let a temporary problem become a permanent problem. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light," right now, "our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what, not on what is seen, walk by faith, but what is unseen, walking blind. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." What is unseen is eternal. You see, he says it's not really temporary and permanent. It's temporary and eternal. They were going through persecution, and what they were saying is, you may be going through struggle right now, but don't focus your eyes on your current condition. Focus your eyes on the reward in heaven. So when you want to quit, Sean, and when you want to give up, just realize that your faith and your obedience is attached to someone else's salvation. Focus heavenward. Don't focus on your problem. Focus on that one other person who's going to be in heaven when you're done preaching. Don't focus on the things. Fix your eyes on things that are unseen. I'm just grateful that God's given us a step to say, you know what? My problem doesn't have to be permanent. It may be a temporary thing, but it's not permanent. And I want to go down deeper in the scripture, because here's the truth of the matter. This is what happens, and I'm not making light of this. But Sean, losing someone close to me is a permanent matter. They're no longer here. Scripture says, focus your eyes on eternal things. See, Jesus said, this isn't it. It's not over here. I know you're hurting right now, this light and momentary trouble. But if that person knew Christ, and you know Christ, you're going to see them again. That's why when I say, the best is yet to come, and I hear people say, but Sean, what if something bad happens? I'm like, we still can say, the best is yet to come, because we're not focused on our situation. We're focused on heaven. And hell or high water or death or whatever comes, the best is truly yet to come. If it's here on earth or if it's in heaven, my eyes aren't fixed on my current problems. My eyes are focused on the promises of heaven, and God will always be faithful to show it. I can constantly say, the best is yet to come. But Sean, your current situation, the best is yet to come. You see, she said that this has prevented me from having children. And I'm just thankful that Jesus didn't see the grave as a permanent situation. But he saw it as a temporary one, to remind us that death is a temporary thing too, for those who know Christ. Guys, we can be full of faith today, no matter what our problem is, because not only can that deflate our faith, but that can inflate our faith. It says this in Romans 4, 18 through 21. This is about Abraham. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. What do I do when there's no reason for hope? Keep hoping. Believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Wait a second. He had Ishmael. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Remember, he had a moment of weakness, not a life of weakness. You can have a life of faith even though you messed up. At about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Problem. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and this brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. See, Abraham didn't diagnose himself. He realized that he was 100 years old. He realized his wife was barren. And it said that he kept hoping. He kept believing. You see, it says, in fact, his faith grew stronger. I'm not here to diminish the facts in your life. It's okay to acknowledge the facts in your life. It's okay to acknowledge that you didn't have a father who taught you while you were growing up. It's okay to acknowledge that there's no money in the account. It's okay to acknowledge that you don't know why you keep running to those addictions. It's okay to acknowledge that there may be sickness in your body. It's okay to acknowledge it, but you don't have to accept it. He acknowledged, he considered, okay, I'm 100 years old. And this is the truth. Guys, I'm here to tell you, there's truth in it. There's truth in what was going on. But it said, in fact, His faith grew stronger. There may be facts in your life that are trying to deflate your faith, but it's those same facts in your life that can inflate your faith. You see, faith is a muscle that God has given to us that can only be grown through opposition. And faith is grown in the midst of problems, in the midst of struggles. You see, guys, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is don't let your facts or your problems become your excuses. They may be real, but they don't have to become your excuses. Abraham didn't say, well, I'm 100 years old. I'm this. He said, no, in fact, his faith grew stronger. I know I didn't have a dad who taught me what it meant to be a son, but now that I'm a dad, I'm not going to let that become an excuse. I'm going to look to my heavenly father, and he's going to show me how to be a dad. I know that my bank account says one thing, and that may be the fact, but I'm going to let it grow my faith that God is faithful to supply all of my needs according to his glorious riches. The facts don't have to be accepted. See, this is something that we don't teach enough that we need to teach because it makes you look crazy. Why are you worshiping? I'm not accepting the facts. But you realize your life's falling apart. I realize it. Thanks. But will you grab my hand when everything's falling apart? And you'll remind me who God says I am in the midst of what, even my shame and sin and condemnation. I know I slipped up. They know they slipped up. They know they messed up. That's why they're here. Could we, instead of showing them their shame, could we show them the Savior? Could we show them the help and the hope and the faith in Jesus Christ? Could we just grab their hands and say, I know that's your facts, but let's let those facts grow you stronger. You may not feel like you have anything, but you have everything in Christ. He kept hoping when everything looked bad. Don't let your temporary problem become your permanent problem because God says it's kind of stirring faith. So Sean, what does this look like? In practical steps, what does this look like? This week, when you find problems, let them build your faith, not deflate your faith. How? I guess, simple example. Who hates traffic jams? Who loves them? Okay, then why only half of you raise your hands? Who hates traffic jams? There, thanks for crowd participation. I'm kind of in between. Some days I like them, and sometimes I don't like them. It just depends. If I got to be somewhere, I don't want to be. Traffic jam, come on, somebody. But in the middle of the traffic jam, there's two things you can do. You can grumble and complain about the traffic, which I choose most times than none. Or you can turn on worship music and you can have a worship concert in your car for about 35 minutes that you didn't get before you left. What am I trying to say? Don't let the facts define your faith. You may be stuck in a traffic jam of life, but that doesn't mean you have to complain about it. Instead, let it build your faith. Let it push you to the heart of God. I've realized that every time I've had pain, it's brought me closer to God's voice. And God will use it the same. Sarah said, I'm prevented. She diagnosed the problem. But Abraham, after 100 years of age, said, I'm going to let this thing build my faith. The last thing is this, time. Time. One of the biggest enemies to our faith, let's be honest, is how long is this going to take? Because I'm still waiting for my man of God. Right? I'm still waiting for that perfect person. I'm still waiting for the promise of God. I've been here for 2 weeks, and I haven't seen any changes yet. You won't see the same at the gym either. You got to be there longer than 2 weeks. You see, in our culture, time is so crazy because now that everything is so instant, 5 minutes seems like a lifetime. Because we can go to Netflix right away. We have everything on our phone. Everything is so instant that we can literally look at something that takes 5 minutes and be like, I don't want to wait that long. 5 minutes. That's why we go to the other checkout lane. Or at Walmart, there's only two anyways, so we have to choose one or two. We go to the other checkout lane. That's why we don't wait in line. That's why if our internet provider is slow, we look at a different internet provider. Why? Because we want it right now. And the thing that I realized is Sarah acted in this moment. She said, hey, let's just do this because we haven't seen this yet. Time has passed, and yet it still took another 15 years after this. Time had passed. Nothing deflates faith than when God's given you a promise, and 10 years later, it hasn't shown up yet. Some of you are waiting right now, and here's the thing. You thought that it was delayed, but God never gave you a timetable. We sit and we blame God. Where is my promise? He goes, I didn't tell you when it was going to be here. God, the promise is delayed. How do you know that? I didn't tell you what time it was going to show up. See, what happens is we get more mad at God about his delayed promises and not about our delayed obedience. And he's like, I didn't give you a timetable. Sarah, I didn't tell you when the child was going to come. I didn't tell you it was going to take 25 years. I said it would come. But it says in Habakkuk 2:2-3, the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that the runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. I'm going to read the scripture tonight at Vision Night. You guys should come out. It's going to be an awesome night tonight at 6 o'clock. Worship, childcare. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Hold on. If it seems slow in coming, I love that. If it seems slow in coming to us, if it seems, nothing as it seems, Sean. I've realized that there's gifts in my life that I waited on that if I would have got them when I wanted them, I would have squandered it. I mean, come on. If your dad bought you a Ferrari when you were 13, bad news. You can't handle it. And God will give you a promise in the right time so it doesn't get ruined, because he's that good. That's why maybe while waiting for the perfect person, you become the right person. Why? Because here's the truth. I'm just waiting for my Boaz, meaning I'm just waiting for my man of God. I don't know where he is. Yet you treat your mom like junk. He's protecting him. Whoever your man of God is, he's not praying for someone like you. But if you begin to change that heart and say, Mom, I respect you, I love you, watch how things change. Why? Because God loves you and I too much to give us a promise that we'll squander. He knows how much we want it and he doesn't want us to ruin it. It says, if it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. Some of us can wait. Waiting patiently, whole nother story. I can wait. It's how I wait that people can't stand. Body language is just as important to God. Wait patiently, for it surely will take place. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like undercooked turkey, and I don't like undercooked promises. And sometimes things gotta sit longer, so when they come, they can be full grown and fully cooked. And they took things into their own hands. They missed out on what God wanted to do. Now God is faithful, and his promises remain true, and Isaac still came. But they didn't wait. And it reminded me the other day with the tire. We took the tire off of our wheel well and we took it to Discount Tires because we had a warranty with them. And so we took it over there, and as we went over there, we pulled up and there were people everywhere. I mean everywhere. It was so busy. I walked in there, I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna take forever. So we had our girls and my wife, and we were just like, we're just gonna Chick-fil-A, and we played for like 2 hours. I watched them play. Okay, I may have played a little bit. But we went there, and as I got in there, a guy came in. And he came in, he said, hey, this is what's going on. And the worker said, do you have an appointment? And he said, yeah, I had an appointment. I didn't. I was like, oh gosh, how long is this gonna take me? He goes, you have an appointment? Okay, it's still gonna be about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And the guy went, okay. And I was like, you're not gonna take your stocking cap off and throw it at him? Or like, I'm gonna go business elsewhere. You're not gonna get on Facebook and rant about someone because you don't want anybody ranting about you, but you wanna rant about Discount Tires? Anyways, so we go on. And I leave, we go to Chick-fil-A, we play for a couple hours, I come back because I get a call that's done. I walk in and guess who's still sitting there? Same guy. He's got his legs crossed with a magazine and he's just cutting up with all the people sitting there. It's like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, I feel so bad for him. And they called his name. I know God wanted me to see this for this moment right now. They called his name and he came up smiling. And they said, sir, we're so sorry, your car's done. I'm sorry it took a couple hours. I know you had an appointment and it took a couple hours. And he goes, hold on. He said, first off, I know you guys work hard here. And I know that you guys do good work. I would wait longer for it. Thank you for being courteous to me and taking care of my car. But Waiting's important. How you wait is more important. And I just realized that maybe you have an appointment with God. Maybe you have an appointment and it's taken longer than you what? But can I tell you something? He does good work and he always takes care of the problem and he's a hard-working God. You can trust and believe that whatever he's working on, it is for your life. It is for your family. It is for our church. You can be glad while you wait. You can lift up your hands while you wait. You can shout and cut up with people around you while you wait. Why? Because he's a hard-working God and he always does good work and it will come right when you need it. It's not delayed. It's coming. Don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. I just sense in my heart that there's some people in here who've lost faith. You've lost faith in whatever that promise is. And you said, Sean, I've had this faith in whatever, but it's changing my heart today. I want you inflated today before you leave. You said, Sean, my heart is deflated with eyes closed. Eyes closed. If you say, Sean, I've been waiting for an appointment from God. I want my faith to be inflated. And could you just lift up your hand? We're just going to believe that the Holy Spirit's going to inflate some faith in your heart today. That he's going to reignite some of those promises. Say, Sean, I just need some faith. I haven't been waiting patiently. I haven't been looking like Jesus while I was there. I admit that, but I want that to change. Our God does good work and he's always on time. Lord, I pray right now, you see the hands. You see those stretched in obedience. I just pray right now with my hand up too. I'm not good at waiting, but I know that your promises always come in at the right time. And I pray that we'd be full of faith this morning. I pray that we'd be full of faith of who you are. I pray that we'd be full of faith in what you're doing. I pray for anyone who doesn't know Christ that they would begin to have a relationship with Christ. I pray right now in Jesus' name that before we leave, that you would encourage us. Yes, that we would look at this promise differently, that we would still worship, that we would still have joy. Even though we wait patiently because you are good and you always take care of your children. We pray that you would stir that faith in us up right now. We declare it right now in Jesus' name. We declare, Father God, that you are good in this place. If you're here and you said, Sean, I've never made a decision to put Jesus as the Savior of my life. You can't have faith with first and foremost putting your faith in Christ. He died on the cross for you and I so we wouldn't have to. And when we put our faith in Christ, it says the old is gone, the new has come. You're a new creation. If you want to start new today, if you want your past to be eradicated, if you want to start following Jesus today, this is your moment. We're going to pray a prayer together, but in your heart, you're going to pray it and you're going to mean it today for the first time. So I want everyone to repeat this after me. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. That was my cross to bear, but Jesus took it. That was my sin, but Jesus took it. Thank you, Lord. I choose today and ask for forgiveness. And I want you today. I want new life today. I don't want to accept my current situation as a permanent one. I'm choosing Jesus right now. In Jesus' name, amen.